Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask for you to turn to the book of John, and we're going to look to the book of Matthew. And I want to share for a few minutes about how God is wanting to give you and I a life and a legacy of faith and belief and trust. God wants to give you and I a life of legacy as it relates to faith and trust and commitment. Faith, trust, and commitment. So we're going to look at the book of John, John chapter 20, and then we'll roll over to Matthew. I've been very blessed to have two great dads in my life. One is Olin Wayne Alston, who is my father-in-law, who preached last Sunday. Didn't he do a great job of preaching the word last week? And he preached last week, and Brother Wayne is the real deal. I owe much to him as it relates to spiritual development in my life and so much about ministry and to learn how to be a father. I've seen that in his life and been able to learn from him as a father. And I am honored to be considered Wayne Alston's son. And the other was my dad, Robert Eugene Rizzo, who passed away. And I didn't know it had been this long until yesterday as I was looking to it this week, thinking about it. My father passed away 20 years ago this month. And I thought, you know, I'd just like to honor him for a moment. I just want to talk about him. And so I brought some pictures of my dad when he was young. That's one right there. Desi looks so Italian. He looks extremely Italian. Got the three-button suit working it. And that was him at work. And I think there's another one. That's him also. My dad, because his dad was an orphan who moved from Italy, was raised in an orphanage, moved from Italy and came to the States, ended up becoming, it was a shoe cobbler, made shoes, and settled in North Carolina, and just through the Depression was extremely poor. They didn't have anything. Well, my dad was a hard worker. So the first time he bought a car, he took a picture in front of the car because he was so proud to have a car. And so throughout his whole life, he has a picture of every single car he ever bought standing in front of it. And there's like, you know, all these cars that I've got a picture. So that's one of him standing in front of the car. He just does the same pose in everyone. A couple more. That is me right there. And it's hard to see everything because of Dylan's hair, but I'll just try to get to it. That's me and my jabots. Come on, don't be hating on those jabots. Come on, where's all the people representing the jabachis at? Where you at? Come on, shout out for the jabachis. And so that is a store. We own about 7 to 9 of these that we had at the beach, and we would sell to tourists. It's an incredible business because we would sell, you know, license plates and shark's teeth and, you know, airbrush stuff for like $29 half off to all of you tourists because we paid about $1 for it. And we just laughed our whole way to the bank. We loved it. It was an incredible business. And so this is my dad a couple years before he passed away. He's got the Italian leather jacket on, still representing. And I think there's two more. This is right after, I think I was in college, then Bible college. And he was giving me money. He was very generous. And my dad's love language was generosity. He didn't say a lot. He was an Italian, did not say a lot of words. He never really looked me in the eye and gave me a ton of affirmation or really spoke a lot to me. He wrote me a letter. Every once in a while he would say a few things, but his love language was giving. So he would arrange ways for me to be blessed. I would go out to eat. He would call ahead, give him his credit card. Or Dylan and I, we first got married, he would do unique things so that we could be blessed. And so I feel like that's something that he's passed down to me. I'll try to in that area, but it's just, and then this is the last one. This is right. Come on, don't be hating on the mullet. It ain't a shame. It got Dylan's attention. It worked for me. And, that was one of the last pictures. I think a little bit past that, he probably passed away. So just some pictures about my dad. And, he was not a perfect man. He did not come to Christ till late in his life after he had become sick and then got better and had made a commitment to Christ. But he was a man who worked extremely hard. He was a very hard worker, sacrificed. I owe much of who I am as a man to my dad. as it relates to work ethic and being trying to be the man that God wants me to be. But both of these men, Brother Wayne and my father, along with two other men that made an impact on my life, Jim Rentz and Dave Olerking. As I thought about the impact on your life by your dads, or the lack of impact maybe on your life by your dad, I thought about these four men as I've kind of measured them up to one another. They're all four unique, especially my dad and my father-in-law. One thing that was in common in all of them that I think is the lesson that I just want to focus in on for a few minutes. I want to talk about a lot, but I want to talk about this one thought. Is that in all of them, there was this lesson that you've got to be able in life to come to a place where you begin to do right, even though you don't see the promise yet. I want that to sink in for a second. And all of these men, I saw that in my dad, I saw that in my father. There's something about to be able to do what's right, or to obey, or to act right, to live right, to make the decisions of God, even before you see the setting out of these decisions. John said it like this to match a scripture to it. Jesus said this about life. He said that there are going to be people who see things and they get it, but then there will be people who believe even before they see it. It says this in John 20:29, that Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they still believe." I want you to get that this morning, men. Even though they have not seen it, they've not tasted it, they've not touched it, they've not walked in it, they don't possess it, they don't have it, but there's something about when you act right, you live right, you decide to be what God wants you to be, you decide to sacrifice, you decide to commit, you decide to devote, you go ahead and be a person of dedication, even before you see the dream come to pass. That's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that we are blessed when men and women, the men and women that are blessed are those that believe when there's no evidence. When they make a commitment, even though they don't see the prayer answered. Who against all decide to trust and hope that even though, you know, means have failed and things are not there, they just decide to do right, to do righteous things first before they see the revelation of what they're hoping for. God says you are blessed when you stay devoted when it's hard and you're waiting for the dream to come about. I want to be that kind of man. I want to be that kind of dad. I want to be that kind of friend. I want to be that kind of servant. I want to be able to hold on during the hour of testing and trials and pain. When others fail, when other people give up, I want to be able to be a man and a son and a brother and a friend that just holds fast and has the ability to stand fast in the Word of God. I want my kids to see it. I want my wife to see it. I want the world to know that when it seems like there is no hope, you can still believe. You can still trust. You can still have faith. When I look at the Bible, I see a person that doesn't get a lot of press, that doesn't get a lot of buzz. And that's Joseph. Joseph. I want to look at that in Matthew chapter 1 for just a few minutes. Because I believe this is an amazing window into a man who did this, who decided to believe and then saw the promise. And I believe it can encourage you. And I like this foster parent of Jesus, Joseph. Joseph was given an amazing task to be the earthly dad of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You don't hear a lot about it. Every once in a while he shows up at Christmas. He just kind of shows up. He's in a Christmas play here and there. But he really gets upstaged by Mary constantly, if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, once Jesus is in earthly ministry, you don't hear a lot about him because most believe he passed away and he was kind of out of the picture. But at least we know till he was 12 years old, Jesus was there on the scene. And so what was it about Joseph? I don't believe God just did an eeny, meeny, miny, mo, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and picked out Joseph, said, yeah, he'll do. I believe there was something about Joseph that allowed him to steward and to care for the greatest dream that's ever been given to mankind. There was something about Joseph that can encourage us. I'll just read you the scriptures here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged. Let me stop there for a second. Here's how it worked. I have a child. Billy Bob down the street has a child. They get about 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. As the dads, we talk and say, you know what? I want my child to marry your child. And they arrange, it's a prearranged marriage. And so they did not have the opportunity, children did not have the opportunity to pick who they were going to marry. Their parents picked them. And here's why. If you study it, Jewish people believe that that was too big of a decision for somebody immature to make. How many right now you feeling kind of good about that idea as a parent? I'm liking that, my brother. Literally, they did not feel like a person in their teens or young 20s could actually make that decision. We will make that decision for you. It's too big for you to make by yourself. And so they got to be a part of all that. And so they pledged them at a young age. So you didn't have any choice. I mean, late when you got about 13, 14, 15, hey, that's your girl right there. What you mean? That's who you're marrying right there forever. Ever and ever. Okay? And so then they would kind of enact it. Say, okay, now we're ready. And you're getting to a certain age. And a year from now, you will be married. But during this year of engagement, it's like you're married, but you'll have no physical contact. You're just kind of like, what's up? Good to see you. That's enough. Going home. Going home. Literally, it was very limited, but the arrangement, they would get their house ready, get their mules over there, get the chickens over there, get everything together. And then there would be a ceremony that would say, okay, now you're married. And so during that year window is where God came to Mary and said, you're going to have my son. And the Holy Spirit is going to conceive, and you're going to give birth to my child, the Son of God. Joseph don't know nothing about that. He wasn't called to the meeting. He just finds out that Mary is pregnant during that 1 year window after they've been waiting all these years. Then all of a sudden his world gets just rocketed with the information. It's just an incredible scenario that takes place. So she is found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Since Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, that's key, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her, but it would be quietly. So he could have made a spectacle out of it. He could have got all loud and all crazy. But he decided not to get loud and crazy. He decided to be very quiet about it. And the Bible says that he was considering this. He was figuring it out. Because he was a righteous man. He wanted to be a man of honor. Even though Mary had done, in his mind, he thought Mary had crossed the line. Mary had been unfaithful. You know, could you imagine if you were engaged to somebody? Hey, baby, can I meet you for coffee? Yeah, what's going on? Well, I'm pregnant. Wow. And you know you haven't been with your fiance. And well, who is it? Well, it's God. Fantastic. That's a bad day. Can I have an amen? That's you're struggling at that moment. If you're the guy. And that's Joseph. Wow. But then he considers it. I love this. After he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. After he considered it. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I mean, he was like, yes. Woo, woo. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him his name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. He knows that is the Messiah. Everything took place as scripture says in verse 22, 23. It says, the virgin will be with child, give birth to a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. It means God with us. And then I love this. I want you to watch this. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up from the dream, it said he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave the name Jesus. See, I know Joseph, normally we see him at the nativity scene, and he's just kind of awkwardly around the manger. Did he put him here? Is he here? Did he go outside with the sheep? Is he standing up here with the angel? Where does the man fit? God handpicked him. Can I tell you why? Because he did the right thing before he ever got the revelation. Is anybody hearing me at 11:15? I'm talking about doing the right thing. The right thing. The hard thing. The difficult thing. The problem thing. The challenge thing. Way before he ever got the good news and got the dream and got clarity and got to see it, he did right. It can encourage all of us that it's never too late to do right. Never too late to live right. Never too late to do the right thing by God. Honoring those. You know, there were four things. I just wrote them down like this. Kind of four little expressions about Joseph. And then we'll finish up. Here's the first thing that I love about Joseph that we learned. That I think all of us, I think especially dads. Dads, I want you to hear this. You know, the first thing is that Joseph was a man of morals. But Joseph was a man of mercy. That's a great combination to live by. Morals and mercy. Morals and mercy. Oh, we have morals. We're going to hold the line. This is what we believe in our home. Here's the standards of God. And here's what God requires. But guess what? You do have the ability to be merciful. How many knows that most of the time you run into a person that's either or? Come on, holler at me. Can I have an amen? You know, they're either real morals and and there's no mercy. Or either they're merciful. Just do whatever you want. It's all good. And there's no morals. And Joseph had this rare combination of morals and mercy. I think we ought to seek to have that in the world we live in today. Can't throw our morals out, but guess what? Can't throw our mercy out either. Morals and mercy. Morals and mercy. Here's the second thing about Joseph. He was very logical. Chilled out. Bring it down. A little temper. You what? What? Did you say you are congested? Or did you say you have been? What'd you just say? What'd you tell me was the problem? You're pregnant. Did you just tell me you're pregnant? I mean, he could have got all like, la, what? What? He settled down. Hold on a second. Okay. He was logical and he was supernatural. I like that. Men that can figure some things out. Men that have the ability to hold up a second. Let me think through the world we live in today. Let me think through the economy. Let me think through our finances right now. But then also have the ability to hear from the supernatural. You live in a world today, my brother, you will need the supernatural. You need the supernatural. Here's the third thing Joseph was. Joseph was a great thinker, but he was also a great dreamer. He just was thinking through. How many, I've done this, how many you have spoke before you thought about it? Yeah, talk to me. Have you ever said something you wish you'd have thought more about? Come on, I'm going to talk to y'all because y'all just shouting me down right now. Talk to me. Where you at, Epic? Where you at? Let me ask y'all something. Dear students, have you ever just opened your mouth when you wish you would have kept your mouth shut? Come on, touch your neighbor and say, keep your mouth shut. You can tell I spoke in an African-American church last weekend. Ain't nobody hearing me up in this house. I'm going to go over here. If y'all ain't going to help me preach, I'll preach on this side of the church. Who's going to talk to me today? I got to remember where I'm at now. I'm back at Healing Place. I think I'll go back over here if you know what I'm talking about. But hey, here's the deal. He thought, think. But then he didn't get frozen on think. He kept on dreaming. And then the last thing Joseph was, he had the ability to refrain and do the right thing. And then he was able to get the revelation. There's sometimes you just got to refrain. Hold it up. I need to do the right thing and it's going to cost me. I'm going to do the right thing even though I'm tempted to do the wrong thing. Even though there's temptation boiling over in my life right now. I'm going to do the right thing. See, Joseph knew that he couldn't do it, but he knew that God could do it. So he just decided to trust God. And because he trusted God and did the right thing, God spoke to him and showed him. Showed him the future. Spoke to him about his life. Gave him a dream. I'm praying today that men all across this room and dads all across this house would be men of great vision. And you would dream the dream of God. And you would hear what others don't hear. And you would see into the future. And you would know things about your wife, know things about your children, know things about your job, know things about this economy, know things about leadership that other people don't even know. That you would see things and understand things that nobody else is understanding or nobody else is getting. Other people are reacting. Other people are flying off the handle. Other people are abandoning. Other people are hurting. But you have the ability to do the right thing in the world that we live in today. I wrote this down as a promise. I believe for every man that's here. For if a man has God's dream, he will see what others do not see. That's my prayer for you. That you have the dream of God. And you'll see things about your life, about your future, about your legacy, about the time that you have left, about the lane that you're running in. You'll understand it. You'll have a sense of awareness about the time and the family and your children and your grandchildren. You know, I showed you a picture of my dad, some pictures of my dad. I don't have my dad on video. He's in our wedding video, but it's just, he doesn't say anything. But my dad had gotten sick maybe in the 70s a little bit, but he'd been okay and he'd just been living, but his health was bad. He just had bad health. And he had an office at home. And for some reasons, he would make business notes on a little tape recorder like this. And he made business notes, but then about a year or so after he passed away, which was 20 years ago, he passed away on June the 1st, 1991. Something in March made him, and this is so unlike him because he never said these kind of words. When I listened to this several years later, I was shocked because it did not sound like the language and the talk that my dad did. But my dad had changed a lot those last couple of years as it relates to faith. So something, I don't know what it was, made him put two messages on a tape to the family. 5 weeks later, he would have a massive cerebral hemorrhage, go into a coma, would never talk again. And 5 weeks later, he would pass away. This was 10 weeks before he died. He made a tape. I don't have my dad on video, but I have his voice. And I just felt like I played this years and years ago when he passed away. Because when I found it, I thought, how supernatural that God would do this for us. And I want to play it. And I want you to hear this.
This is March the 1991, I'd just like to leave a message here when I'm gone so everyone will know that I'm thinking about you. I'm going to miss you, but I'm gone to a better place. I just hope everyone will meet me there later on. You know where I'm going. Got my mansion up there already. And time's getting about there where you got to go, you got to go. To my darling daughters, this is March the 18th, 1991. And to my wonderful son, and also to my darling wife, who I love so much. And I know that someday we'll be together for eternity. My daughters, I love them so much. They've been such wonderful girls. And my son, I know he's going to go on and do great things in his life. But I just wanted to let y'all leave a little message here. I'm going to continue doing this throughout the time that I can leave little messages here and there for everyone. Everyone in the family, don't shed no tears for me when I'm gone, unless they're tears of joy, because I'm going on to that great place in heaven, the wonderful home that the Lord has got ready for me and for all of you. I know that someday we'll all be there together.
You know, I felt like the Lord wanted me to play that because, I don't have my dad on video. He's not a man of a lot of words. He didn't come from that culture. But I do have 112 seconds. I have 112 seconds. I look back on my life then. I was just a little youth pastor going up, picking up kids on buses. In Bel Air, North Baton Rouge, South Baton Rouge, doing fellowship groups. But I think about just that little bit that he spoke into my life. So you know what? I really felt, and I felt like the Lord showed me this yesterday, that even though my dad was not always a spiritual man, he did make a decision to do right. He did right. And he corrected a lot of things he did wrong. He just did right. And I believe God in his sovereign power gave him revelation to put a little message to his family down on a tape, randomly sitting at a desk. He only did it twice. And 5 weeks later, he has a massive brain. How did we didn't know that? Then he's gone 10 weeks later. God gave him the vision and the dream and the revelation to say something. What a thought. You know, maybe you're here today and your dad, I don't know if he affirmed you. Maybe you're a daughter and you didn't get a lot of affirmation. You don't have a tape. You don't have a video. You don't have anything. Maybe your dad's alive and he's not even said that to you. Or maybe you're a dad. But what a great opportunity. We still have breath to say the things we should say. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.